welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Fishermen Ministry South Carolina Thursday night service. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. We ask you and thank you for meeting us in this place. May your word go forward. May our joyful noise be acceptable to you, Lord, and please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is here.
Good evening. So in coming back from the conference, I've been thinking about the my faith versus his faith. And how freeing that is, in the sense of I've seen in my own life to where when it's my faith that I'm trying to stand in, it's kind of like the little engine that could. I think I can. And I'm exhausted because I think I can. I'm still trying to do the work. I'm still trying to do it in my own ability. And the opposite of that is his faith. I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And it's not exhausting. It's not me trying to do it in my own ability. And I know Davey's preached it before, but when he preached it this time, it was just clarity, and especially in seeing it in my own life. And I know, like even this week, I found myself standing in my faith, trying to stand in my faith. You know, we came back from Texas, and the day we leave to head back home on a 30-hour trip, I have two infections. Coughing, that didn't really bother me, no problem. Get home, my cat's got pink eye and two eyes, and the washing machine dumps its guts all over the floor, and then we get another one, and it doesn't work, and, you know, it's inconvenience, and it's a little irritating, but it's not like, oh. However, Tuesday, you know, Mel says we're not having practice today, or this week other than Friday, so she's not going to be here. I'm doing worship, and it's my week to preach. All the other stuff, no problem. Natural man. I think I can. Big Lisa that could. And I caught myself. You know, the Lord gave me that nudge. You're standing, trying to stand in your faith, not me. You're looking at what you're able to do. And you're forgetting who's able. Because it freaks me out of fear, which number one, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But I can become so focused on my own inability to do a thing that I forget who's able. And that's me, my faith, not his faith. It's not about me being able. Praise God. It's not about what I look like, how smart I am. It's not about any of that. It's about what he's able to do. And me trusting in that, believing him for it, and standing in a rest in that. And not worrying, not fretting, not fearing. If my husband said, Lisa, you're leading worship, in obedience to my husband, I am able to do that in Christ. I am able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If Paul looks at me and gives me the look and says, you're up, I am able to get up here and preach the word of God and his goodness and give testimony of his power in my life. And why wouldn't I want to do that? Why do I make it so complicated? It's not about me and my ability. It's about him and what he's able to do. And when I kind of gave myself a kick, it was like a relief. Oh, praise God. It's simple. Believe me. Trust me. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to deserve it. Quit trying to do everything perfectly. I made a way for you. I made a way. I shed blood to cover you for your sin. He's perfect. I can trust in his perfection. So what? I'm not able. So what? Praise God. Because I'm not able. But other people get to see, and other people get to see him do mighty things through me. I'm not able, but he's able. When it was told to me that I should learn the keyboard, I went, huh? I don't know how to, I don't even have a clue. I don't know what a chord is. I don't know what a note is. I don't know the difference between the two. Don't have a clue. Played a recorder in fourth grade. Sucked at it. And I'm just going, this is just mountain. Mountain. You know, my mom always used to say, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And I remember sitting on the porch and going, everybody's got to have a talent, Paul says. Seems to be mine, unfortunately, way too much. But anyway, I remember sitting on the porch and going, Lord, my husband has said I'm going to learn this keyboard. I don't know what I'm doing. I am terrified. I need help. start looking on YouTube, met with Meigs, met with Mel, and next thing you know, I'm learning a song a night on the keyboard. Am I great at it? No, but I'm going to get there. And the Lord just blessed it, this thing that looked like Mount Everest to me. And when I called upon him and he started moving, I went, wow, this is awesome. This is fun. I get to come out here every night and practice keyboard and praise and worship the Lord and walk home, and all the stuff I've allowed to get on me throughout the day is gone and washed, and I meet my husband, and it's a blessing. What seemed as this huge mountain I couldn't climb. But he was able. And he is able. And his hand is always out to me. It's out to you. And I know when I find myself in those spots where I have not been standing in his faith, and I'm standing in mine, I repent, Lord, help me, forgive me. And he's right there to move in a mighty way, whatever the situation is, every single time. I'm going to read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that's what I find over and over again is, you know, these things come up and they look so big. And I start to doubt whether God's big enough. I may not say it out loud, but my reaction says that I doubt whether or not God's big enough. And it is too big for me. And then I call upon him and he moves. And then there's that experience of him moving in that mighty way. And then that experience, you get that expectation of when these things come up, that he's going to show up. It's that I think I can versus I know he is. I know he's going to show up. To have that expectation of him to move mightily in whatever situation or circumstance that you have before you. He is good. And I just praise God and thank him for the sufficiency of his grace and his mercy. And I am learning to know that he is able.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, he is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages, almighty God is he. Bow down for him, worship and serve him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages, almighty God is he. Bow down before him, worship and serve him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
name. It is always interesting to see how the Lord operates. About the time that you're feeling like, yeah, you've moved through this process a long time now, and you're learning to operate in patience and long-suffering. And I was feeling rather happy, pleased with myself, because I learned to allow for other people's disinterest, unwillingness to perform, and general incompetence, like in this manner. I called in prescriptions yesterday, 8, to Bilo Pharmacy. I went there today to pick them up. They weren't ready! They were just counting them out at 2:30 this afternoon. So, you know, even when you do that, it just doesn't work. So I stopped feeling pleased with myself. I drove home and I said, about the only thing I accomplished here was I didn't jump all over the girl in the drive-through window. The truth of the matter is, if my voice, I could have counted on my voice, I might have. So, the truth of the matter is, the Lord's too gracious and merciful to let me do anything in and of myself that establishes that I can do anything myself. Because His Word says, I can't do anything without Him. And I don't think Jesus was into piling on people who are already have their own problems. So, what I learned from that experience is I wasn't as good off as I thought I was. I should have had no reason, in fact, to feel pleased with myself. On Facebook, I think Ann shared a post that got my attention. The post said, you know, if the people standing outside our church this morning smoking bothered you, you probably don't want to come here. This is a place where all of our clients are adulterers, fornicators, thieves, murderers or would-be murderers, every other kind of malice that any kind of humanity has ever dreamed up. We minister the gospel and introduce sinners to Jesus Christ here. So if the smokers outside the front bothered you this morning, you probably should stay away. And I thought that was an excellent post, so I liked it and shared it. That's the one thing, man. If we lose track of our mission and what we're doing here, then we're no different than the Pharisees. And we forget where we came from. I want to go to John chapter 8 as an example. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. We caught her doing the dirty. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote in the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the women standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. These are a bunch of people who forget where they came from. And the intent and goal of their life was to enforce the law, not to use it as a tutor to instruct towards Christ, which is what Paul says the purpose of the law is. Who is it that accuses? That same enemy that kills, steals, and destroys. He is the accuser. He's the one that's standing before the throne of God right now, accusing the saints. They're on a wrong team. We're not. Our mission is not to accuse. Our mission is to offer the cure for the separation from God that sin causes. That cure is Jesus Christ. And as a little reminder, go to Colossians 3. That's a nice passage to read. I only want one verse out of it. I think I'm going to read the passage anyway. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you're hearing the accusations of the enemy, you're sitting there with him. I think that's cool. If you're hid with Christ and God, that's where you are. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. One of my affections on the earth need not be the drive-through pharmacy. Just not. Not something to be pleased with. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Kill them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. You need to remember where you came from and what the Lord has done for you. How good the Lord has been. Every day is a new accounting. Every day is new goodness. Every day is new mercy. Every day is new grace. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. All these things, the things here, are things that people are not going to be readily apparent of. But they determine where your heart is before the Lord. How you treat other people. Why not to one another? Seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and all. There is no preference with God. You're either his or you're not. Doesn't matter where you came from, you don't get special treatment. You're either his or you're not. You're either in Jesus Christ or you're not. And the rules are the same for everybody. The only place you're going to get fair and equal treatment is at the cross.
Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Am I coming through? Alright, I can't tell. I don't know, that's just ringing from the air tools. I have no idea, but it doesn't feel like I'm hearing myself out there, but, you know, praise the Lord. But one of the things you left off at, Paul, was that, I think it was along the lines of getting the fair treatment is at the cross, you said? And if you look at our lives, we get so much better than we deserve from the Lord. It's not even funny. We take some suffering as nothing. I mean, I look at myself, I look at Jeremiah, I go, I'm freaking pathetic, dude. But praise be the Lord. He's good, and that's what it's about. And there's two other points that you were talking about that I actually want to mention. One of the things that you said, Paul, was not forgetting where you came from. And the freshest that, it really was very fresh with me just yesterday afternoon. It was just a very fresh, you know why? Because I shared what the Lord had did for me. This is for somebody else. With somebody else. And when I got that opportunity to share that with that person, I got excited. I remembered clarity. And it kind of over a period of time, but I remember in clarity what the Lord had done for my family and I. And I remember us coming down from just out of that, just an absolute mess. Something that was so upside down that anybody in their carnal mind would look at and go, that's a nightmare. They are doomed. They have no hope, and this is really going to go south. And the truth of the matter is, that is exactly what the situation was. But not with Jesus Christ and what He is able to do. Not with Jesus Christ and what He is able to do. He is beautiful for situations. He takes hopeless and makes it hopeful. He takes the impossible and makes it possible. He takes the upside down situation and makes it right side up. See, that's the God we serve. That's the God that has been manifested in our lives, and His name is Jesus. And we ought not to forget what I deserved, because what I deserved, I did not get. And I had people who would love me and tell me the truth and provoke me. And love me with that agape love of Christ that provoked me to change. And it provoked me to put my faith in Him. And to actually, more like, accept His faith that He's given to me. And believe it and count on it at all costs. And see, at that times of during that provoking sometimes, you might look at it in the carnal mind and go, that just wasn't very nice. But it was absolutely what I freaking needed, and it was the right thing to do and the most loving thing to do. Because that was the only thing to turn me around. Was for somebody to take a freaking sign and say, turn around, you're going the wrong direction. And that's love. That's love. And when we look, and it's so easy to look at situations, circumstances, how you are, and see that there's no hopelessness. But all we got to do, what Paul was talking about, is not forgetting where he came from, not forgetting what the Lord has done. See, over a period of time, if we're not practiced in walking with Him, we can very much easily lose sight of that. We can very much easily lose sight of that. The children of Israel did, didn't they? Why did they have the Passover? To remind them what the Lord had done for them. Why did they have these times where they made a feast and they did all these things? To remind them what the Lord had for them, what He done for them, and what was available for them. But it was funny what Paul was talking about on this one front on this. He goes, you know, what was it on something about going to the pharmacy, Paul? And I looked at that, and just that little light on that thing is just like, you know what, praise God, Paul, you are driving to the pharmacy. That is a step in the right direction. That is something you can praise God that you're able to do, and other people in your situation, in your circumstances, is bedridden and can't do squat. So that's a praise God. See, we need to change our mind. We need to change our perspective on these things. What does it say? What does the Lord command us to do? Whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Heartily as unto the Lord. The way that David could witness to somebody else by simply playing a video game was how? Playing it heartily as unto the Lord. As Scott Stephen was sitting there, and he's watching this thing, and it just testified to him. What was David doing? Playing a video game, heartily, as unto the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. And see, the other thing that I was thinking about on the way is we've been talking about getting into that mind of Christ. Putting on the mind of Christ. Being transformed by Him. In Ephesians it talks about, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when I take a look, and what came through my mind in the midst of all this thing is I looked at Joshua. And how all the people came under obedience unto Joshua, but it was actually as unto the Lord. And they submitted themselves. And the Lord moved mightily. And it was a beautiful thing. And it opened up. It opened up what the Lord had for them. It unlocked the promise for them. You know why? Because it's simply they were just willing to believe Him. They feared Him. They trusted Him. And they believed Him. And those walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And as I see that we need to do as a body is become of that one mind. That mind of Christ. And you looked at what they did. And I'm going to read a little bit in Ephesians here. But when you looked at what they did, what Jesus did as when He walked on this earth, He always glorified who? The Father. It was always about Him. It was always about what the Father could do and how He manifested Himself. As a body, that's what we ought to be doing. But I'm going to start in Ephesians, and let's go to Ephesians 4. I guess I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, it's interesting when you take a look at that, walking in the worthy of the vacation where you're called, that is your job. That's your place in the body, wherever that place is. And it's an interesting, at the end here it says, and in you all. Remember how we were talking about the faith of Christ Jesus? And back in the conference, and how He puts His faith in you? See, that's what we all need to be relying on. That's what we need to be listening to. That is the Spirit, that mind, His mind. And we all should be working as a unit. For Him. You want to see the Lord move? You want to see those walls come tumbling down? You want to see the power of a God be there? It's us coming together in that unity of His faith, of His mind, of His body. One purpose, one goal. Not being high-minded, thinking you know better, and going about doing your own business and doing your own thing. No. We've been doing that way too long, folks. Way too long. It's time to put that down. And as we lived and we've done that for so long, has it been fun? No. When you take part of your own mind and not the mind of Christ where there's peace, joy, love. But when you take over your own mind, which is filled with death, corruption, hate, anger. What's that? Unbelief and fear. I mean, that's a miserable place. I don't know about you, but that's not the place I want to abide in, is it? Well, praise God, we don't have to do that anymore. But let me carry on. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he say, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's talking about going down to the pits of hell, being raised back up, conquered in victory, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. And that's Jesus Christ. He's won. And in the midst of it, what does he do? He gives out gifts unto us, the body. It's our time. This is what we can walk in now as his body. Praise God. We can be in the part of in that book of Acts where you see many healed from the sick, raised from the dead, devils cast out, and people receiving the number one thing, the number one joy that we all love to see, and that's people receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and partaking of that goodness and the riches that he has. Coming into that sheepfold, that body. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's time. You want to become into that man? Do you want to partake of the body of Christ? Because when I look at that fullness of that stature, I just think of Joshua and where everybody came together in that unity of that same mind, of that one accord. And you watched the Lord move mightily. Mightily. And I tell you, man, if that's not what you're about, that's not what you want to see, and you want to partake and do your own thing, and you're not about going towards that goal, then what are you doing here? Then what are you doing here? Because that's what we're coming here to learn, amen, is to get shed of that garbage that holds us back. To get free of the garbage of the world that tries to come all over you and that old man that tries to take you down and kill and destroy you. And to learn of him and his ways and to minister his gospel, his love, his life that he's so freely given to the world. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. All of it. Not just you and me, but all those that don't know him out there. And that's the army we're called to be in. That's the army we're called to be in. I think I'm going to stop right there. But let's get in our closets. Let's get honest with the Lord. Let's get honest with ourselves. What are we about? Let's put off all that old garbage, man. Let's take of his love, his spirit, his mind. Let's become that body that goes forward and receives that promise that he has. Amen? Let's not be that first generation stuck out in the desert and lost the promise because of their unbelief. Let's not be a part of that. That's not what He's called us to. No, He's called us to victory and that promise. Let's not throw it away, but let's grab hold of that gift of God. Let's receive it and let's go walk in it. And it's all by just saying, yes, Lord, You're my boss. And nothing else matters but me serving You, Lord. Nothing else matters but You being glorified. That's all that matters. Amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.